Welcome to the November 22nd virtual service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by worship associates Ellen Plummer and Stephen Henninger, and the theme for the service is, What About Gratitude? Due to technical difficulties on the computer recording the service, the Zoom session ended about a minute before the end of Ellen's reflection. That is lost, but the closing hymn and postlude will be on the service video.
Welcome, everyone. We're delighted to be together today, and I'm going to sound our bowl. Welcome, everyone, to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation, physically located in Blacksburg, Virginia, and virtually located all over the New River Valley and the world. We are so glad to be with you this morning. I'm Ellen Plummer, and my partner is, my worship partner is Stephen Henninger, and he and I are both really pleased to be your worship associates this morning, while we create our worship time together. Rev Pam is away from the pulpit today, and Stephen and I are joining you virtually from the UUC Meeting House on Gladewood Road. Pam, if you're hearing us, we're hoping you and Jamie are having a respite and getting some good time away. Today and throughout the week, there are ways in which we can be together. First, if you are new to our congregation, we are very glad that you found us, and we would love to be in touch with you. In the chat, we told you we'd be using this a lot. In the chat, you will find a link to a virtual visitor's card. We hope you'll let us know how to reach you so that we can say hello and tell you more about our congregation. Second, whether you are new to us or you're an old hand, we invite you to stay on the Zoom after service today for our virtual coffee hour. We'll go into small breakout rooms for a chance to meet in small groups for conversation. Third, throughout the week, there are additional ways to gather virtually or on our wonderful church grounds. Take a look at the UUC website for more information about what we are all up to and when and how to contact us. Our congregational community thrives because each of us and the many of us who volunteer are committed to bringing us together as frequently as we can and as safely as we can. Thank you, everyone. Wait, there's more. A few announcements. Because Rev Pam said so. And we always do what Rev Pam tells us. Join us from 7 to 8 p.m. on Thanksgiving evening for connection and fellowship via Zoom. And new this year, thanks to our wonderful event planners, Molly and Irene, the UUC will be hosting a virtual holiday market December 6th through 13th. Prepare some baked goods, crafts, holiday decorations, caroling, or something else. All the proceeds will go to supporting our congregation. Again, reach out to Molly or Irene with any questions. And last, but by no means least, our practice during our service is to share joys and concerns. If you have a joy or a sorrow you'd like shared aloud this morning, please use the link in the chat to tell us what is on your heart. We will share those aloud later in our service. Now, Karen Hager, our Director of Lifespan Faith Development, will tell us what is happening in religious education.
Two big reminders for you this morning.
First, Mint and Tree will be held this afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. Bring your donations of new mittens, gloves, scarves, and hats to UUC and hang them on our tree and experience the real meaning of the holidays by giving to others. Second, this Wednesday is the last day to request a part in our upcoming no-rehearsal holiday pageant, ELF. If you'd like a part in our multi-generational play, email me before Wednesday. And here's what the kids were up to last week in RE. Our preschool class read the book The Pigeon Finds a Hot Dog and made their own pigeon airports and planes. Our K-5 class watched the Pixar short Presto and learned a magic trick. And our middle school class watched the Simpsons episode In March We Trust and talked about the power of listening. Hope to see all of you this afternoon at Mittentree.
Hi everyone, I'm Stephen Henninger, your other worship associate today. I'm thrilled to be here with Ellen, giving you all a service today. So today we're gonna have the Ehler family join us as we light our chalice this morning.
We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service.
And now, please join me, or rather Alan Moore, as he says our congregational covenant.
We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. We will listen to one another respectfully, assume good intentions, use the power of our words with care, express gratitude, honor our differences, help one another, and welcome all. We will communicate directly, honestly, and compassionately. When we hurt one another, we will forgive, make amends, and reconnect. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
Thank you, Alan. And now, each week our congregation collects, normally passes an offering basket, and now we're doing a virtual offering basket. And the weekly offering is a ritual and a reminder that we are part of the interconnected web of life. Each week, UUC gives half the collection plate to a local or UU-affiliated organization committed to doing good works. This week's recipient at our virtual service is the Humane Society of Montgomery County Parking Lot Pet Food Pantry, which provides free pet food for dogs and cats with no forms to fill out and no questions asked. Members of the community just drive into the parking lot on a specific date and take what they need, operating on the honor system. You may give through the instructions on your screen, our Give Plus app, or text FUND to 844-909-2617. If you have never used these, look at your order of service and the announcements for more information. You will be able to give after the service. And now we will accept these offerings. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
Today, as we enter into a time of prayer and meditation, we invite you to reflect on our congregation's gratitude. Stephen created a gratitude tree. This gratitude tree has been populated with leaves that have come in from many of us who populate the UUC congregation. So thank you for participating in our tree of gratitude. I'm particularly grateful because this tree was created by the Reverend Kimberly Tomsack Carlson, who is one of the few people that bridges the coursework that I have been engaged in seminary. She was in my class, and she was also a classmate of Rev Pam's. So we like Rev Kim very much, and she's a very creative person, and we're grateful to her for the idea and for sharing her template for the gratitude tree.
Today's reading was found by Ellen and is titled A Place at the Table from Wayne Muller's book, Sabbath. When we gather for a Sabbath meal, we partake of the spiritual companionship of all who have loved us, all we love, all who have gone before and will come after. Everyone we have touched, those who have taught or held or nourished us all, come to that table. It is good to be mindful of our ancestors, our loved ones, our extended family, who could not join us in body for this blessed meal. So when you eat, set a place for all who join you there in spirit, complete with a glass, plate, and silverware. During Passover, Jews set this place specifically for Elijah, awaiting his promised return. But for any sacred meal, it is good to leave a place of invitation, mindful of all those with whom we are, now and forever, consecrated family. Be grateful was a common admonishment I heard as a child, and one I found myself saying lately with my students and my coworkers. Be grateful for that meal on your plate. Be grateful for your paycheck. Be grateful. So why are we so quick to bring someone to task when they complain? Certainly, gratitude is a virtue we should all practice. Yet sometimes all you can do is complain. Sometimes that complaining is healing. This is an odd way to start a homily on gratitude. Of course, as a Unitarian Universalist, I, like many of you, are quick to problematize the topic. Well, what about, or if you look at it this way, it's our default to problematize a topic. So bear with me this morning. At the start of the pandemic, all the way back in mid to late March, when everything was shutting down and we were getting used to our new normal, my job at Virginia Tech became anything but calm. We would meet daily via Zoom to discuss the coming tasks, moving thousands of students out of the residence halls, ensuring our staff that live and work in our residence halls were safe and cared for, and so many other tasks. We were all tired, cranky, and sorting through a series of professional and personal losses as plans quickly changed. I know for myself, I was quick to complain and commiserate with my peers. We spent 4 weeks planning that training only to cancel it, or I had to transition my entire class to online in 1 week. The list of complaints in the early spring was quite long, and I was anything but grateful. During that time, my boss would end every meeting with our leadership team with a moment for each of us, a group of 12, to share one thing we have been grateful for in the past week. During those first few daily meetings, when I was processing the chaos and the loss, probably like many of you, practicing gratitude seemed not only hollow, but Pollyanna. How can we be grateful when the nation and the world was shutting down? Why should I be grateful that the hours of work preparing for classes, retreats, and trainings was for nothing? Why can't I just be mad? I didn't want to be grateful, and my boss couldn't make me. Until he did. Hearing those gratitudes from my peers during the early part of the pandemic was healing. Yes, I wasn't in a place to practice gratitude at the time, but hearing my coworkers and my friends say something they were grateful for be it as small as the sun shining on that particular day or the phone call they had the night prior with a friend they hadn't heard from in many months. It was all a reminder that the situation may indeed get better. It will take time, yes, and it will be challenging, but there will be a tomorrow and I'll be able to be thankful again. That ritual from my boss forced on us to work because we are a strong group. We trust one another, and even at our worst, we know our success is dependent on the success of each other. Hearing those gratitudes shared reminded me and others in our group that the practice of reflecting on our gratitudes was not only important, but healing. Reminding myself that the cup of tea I had that morning was perfectly steeped and full of flavor, that was healing. Reminding myself of the joy of a story to get lost in and forget, for however brief, made the dark times of the early part of the pandemic just a little easier. And reminding myself of that conversation with a friend and smiling amidst the chaos of the world was not only a powerful reminder of the beauty and the purpose of life. And here's where I stop being a stereotypical Unitarian Universalist. I'm not going to problematize gratitude. Being in that community and hearing, even if I wasn't ready to hear, others' gratitudes was the balm that I needed at that point. Communities are powerful. Communities can transform individuals. It's what we're doing right here, right now, in our congregation. But that power, that transcendence of community, doesn't happen merely because that community exists. It happens because, as Wayne Muller indicated in our reading, that communities of which we are a part are the spiritual companionship of all who have loved us, all we love, all who have gone before and will come after. The sacredness, even holiness, of communities allow us to care deeply, think lofty thoughts, and be grateful for each other's presence so that we may find transformation and, yes, even healing. As we've been meditating on healing this November and gratitudes this week, think not only what you are grateful for, but for whom. Those communities of which you are a part, this congregation, your family, either chosen or by blood, your workplace, a small group, whatever it may be, those communities have the power to heal wounds and give your mind, body, and spirit a rest on their weary journey. Communities heal us, not because they exist, but because through relationships we heal. And what about gratitudes? Gratitudes heal us not because we had that encounter, but because we notice the beauty of our lives. I'll leave you with this. However you see your religious self, say a prayer or meditate on what you are grateful for. That alone may be the healing that you need. But even more powerful to your healing is to share your gratitude aloud amidst your loved ones or your dearest friends. Blessed be, and let it be so.
Stephen and I did a lot of thinking and talking together, which was tremendous fun, about gratitude and healing and how they might be interconnected. And I actually looked up Pollyanna and realized that, or was learned, I should say, that Pollyanna is an Americanism. That's what the language people say. And Pollyanna was a character in a book written by a woman in the early 1900s. And Pollyanna was an orphan with an absolutely indomitable, powerful commitment to positivity and rainbows and sunshine and all this stuff. So while Pollyanna has the connotation of being positive, I'm curious about the fact that we frequently use the term Pollyanna in the pejorative. We say, don't be a Pollyanna, or, oh gosh, there goes somebody being Pollyanna. I find that interesting, an interesting tension, as it were, to consider. Our worship theme this month is, what does it mean to be a people of healing? We've done this work both in Sunday worship and in small groups. We have practiced and explored our ideas of healing, physical healing, emotional healing, the healing of relationships, healing community brokenness, all sorts of healing, with intentions of healing at the individual and at the community levels. As Thanksgiving is upon us, American Thanksgiving, that is, it occurred to me that we might want to explore gratitude. How might gratitude and healing be connected? Then I rolled my eyes at myself. Seriously, I said to myself, how trite can you be? The once a year turkey or tofu turkey inspired moment of counting my blessings or expressing thanks for all the things I take for granted the rest of the time, my resource-rich privilege and the supremacies from which I benefit. Yep, quite an eye roll moment. Well, the UUC newsletter went to print, and there it was, written down for God and everybody to see, that Stephen and I are committed, or were committed, to lifting up gratitude on the Sunday before the American Thanksgiving. Okay, I said, get on with it. How do gratitude and healing relate to one another? Surely there must be something about this in the ever-present Google, for which, of course, I have much gratitude. Turns out, the folks who do brain science are exploring and documenting the many ways in which science confirms the intersections of gratitude and health and well-being. Researchers at Berkeley and at Yale and at many other institutions argue that we experience gratitude in three ways. Three ways we experience gratitude: as an emotion, a temporary state, second, as a trait, a disposition to notice what is available around us for the goodness in your life. And third, as a practice, gratitude as a practice. It's something we experience and can do to evoke the emotion of gratitude and, here's the catch, to potentially strengthen it. Feeling welcome, thankful, appreciative, glad, and content are all words we use to describe emotions and states of being that are positive, peaceful, grounding, and offer a pause, as brief as it may be, from the experiences we all have that are isolating, sad, lonely, hurtful, painful, unsettling, and infuriating. Feeling and practicing gratitude, in addition to the sappy sentimentality some of us may get a little snarky about, feeling and practicing gratitude is highly correlated with well-being. It's correlated with health, feeling peaceful, and on a good day, even serene. Aha, says me to myself. Okay, eyeball roller. Clearly, you were supposed to research and think about the connection between gratitude and healing, because the universe has provided many, many, many individual and collective opportunities recently, both domestic and international, for me to feel isolated, sad, lonely, hurt, be in pain, feel unsettled, and without a doubt, infuriated. What a perfect and perfectly timed invitation to feel and to activate a practice of gratitude. The irony and the gift of this insight is not lost on me. Beyond being a fleeting, momentary, foolishly sentimental experience, gratitude is a tool for taking a break. It strengthens our physical and emotional well-being and contributes to our ability to be and feel welcome, to be and feel content, to be and feel peaceful. I am grateful for the brain scientists who are providing evidence that supports the benefits of a practice that I might just lift up. The world's religions, philosophies, and healing traditions have known and practiced for centuries. Gratitude practice. Practice gratitude. Like Stephen, sometimes I resist and roll my eyes when in a group and I'm asked to share something positive. Really? Needless to say, this does not happen very often for me in the administration building in which I work. When Stephen shared his experience with me, I recognized myself in his story. I want to be mad. There is nothing, not a dang thing, work and otherwise, to be grateful for. Are you serious? What a first world way of being in the world. For the love.